Hi, and welcome to Blissful Living. I'm your host, Shaman Isis. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about sound healing and healing in general. And I'm very delighted to have a very special guest who knows all about, this is one of my favorite topics, all about one of my favorite new topics. Jessica, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, yeah, thanks so much for having me today. My name is Jessica Neidefer. I am a Reiki master and sound healing practitioner. I've been working in these modalities since 2007 and just recently arrived to Texas about a year ago from California. But
That's
don't worry, I don't want a California, you're Texas.
Right? I love that. I've actually been in Texas now for 6 months. How are you enjoying Austin?
I love it. I moved to South Austin in March of last year. And when I arrived, I actually had this vision about 2 years ago of a little cottage out in the countryside on an unpaved road and like on a farm. And I thought, wow, that's really beautiful. I look forward to living there at some point. And I had been in San Jose for 45 years and third generation. And then I woke up one morning in November last year, and then this little cottage appeared on Facebook Marketplace. So I went to see it. And the only time that I was available to see it was on 11/11 at 11 a.m. when so was the owner. So yeah, it was just like there were many other synchronicities. He had an awakening the same month that I arrived into Austin as well. And he was like, he is like white cowboy Texas native,
yeah,
and had gone to his first Reiki session the same time that I had arrived to Austin. And so we got into some conversations. I obviously was meant to live in this little cottage on this unpaved road out in the middle of Red Rock, which is about 40 miles south of Austin.
Wow.
Down near Circuit of the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved in December after only living in Austin for like 8 months. And then, you know, started, like everything started to move after I moved there. As we were talking about earlier in, before we began recording, you know, the work that I'm doing in the jails. And once that move happened, like other things started to open up. So it was like, I was fulfilling the space where I was supposed to be living and that vision. And then everything else started to move very quickly after that.
I love that. And I would love for you to share a little bit. We were talking earlier before we started recording about, you know, sound healing and, you know, about giving back to the community. And I would love to hear a little bit about your work. And if you could share with the audience the reaction that you get when you go to jails and teach people about sound healing.
Yeah. And really, sound healing is simply the way that we work with people to help them be more aware of themselves, being aware of their self in a new and different way through what we're made of, sound, right? Our bodies are 50 trillion cells, more or less, and all those cells are in a constant state of vibration, and vibration is what creates sound. Well, our bodies are also about 70% water, which is the perfect medium to carry sound, right? So when we work with sound and our intention, we create a space for the body to heal, meaning we allow our brain to go into theta brainwave state, which is the space of deep rest and meditation, which allows our brain to also consider new neural pathways and allows us to experience rest, which is what most of us are not getting in our day, whether we're in jail or outside. The people running the prisons are curious and not interested for the staff. Like the staff is interested, but they're not really keen on pulling the trigger yet to offer it to staff. And they're like, well, the people housed here will absolutely benefit from this. And sure, come on in.
Right.
Yeah. Which I found very interesting because from coming from what I believe to be such a progressive state like California, everything in California was so much harder to do and so much red tape and so much bureaucracy,
yeah,
that
like
even
California.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, wow. I really didn't imagine I would have to move halfway across country to have people say, yes, come on in. You're going to help us heal. Sure. Come on in. We would love to have you here. So that was a pleasant surprise. And it also it was validation that I had made the right decision because moving to Texas was not something I really decided to do consciously. It was,
yeah,
a message from my higher self that said go, and I was here 7 weeks later.
I was told by a psychic when I was young that I would live in four places that were very important, and I've now lived officially in all four. I was guided to, funny, right?
Please. How did you end up in Texas?
That was the fourth place I was supposed to go to. And they said I would know when it was time because I would wake up. And it was like, okay, I was really young when I heard this too. And I was like, yeah, okay. You know, when you're young, you're like, yeah, whatever. I'm really being told by a psychic what's going to happen. Yeah. But anyway, this is fascinating. I love this. And honestly, I have to say before you continue, I love that you're doing this in prisons because I don't think, sometimes I get brought up short in Austin because there's so much, such a huge homeless problem. There's a lot of crime here, and people can be very cold about how people end up like that. And I think most of them are usually it's drug related. And I think a lot of people are doing drugs to deal with the trauma that they
and have. Mental illness
and mental illness. Yeah. So please, I think it's wonderful. What's your experience been like in bringing the sound healing to the people who are incarcerated?
Yeah, so the reception is very welcoming, and people are also very appreciative to have something that or experience something that they've never experienced before, or that we're not really doing in many places. Like as far as I know, there's not really sound healing happening in other jails here in Texas. And there aren't any other people really going in. Like there's a handful of agencies. And I know that from my experience being in there, to create a space to be seen and heard and to experience yourself in a new and different way through meditation, through sound and intention, gives people a space to recreate themselves and to maybe consider something different, something new moving forward, even while they're inside the facility currently.
Yeah.
So most of the reaction that I get when I first start going in is the peace and calm that they're able to feel immediately, or the way that they're able to forget that they're inside of a jail for a few minutes or for the hour that I'm there. The other part of it is it helps them to create, like to know that they can create safe space around them through the meditations that we do. Mm-hmm. And that even though their environment does not feel safe, that they can create safe space in the mind and they can go to that space and move through their day from that safe space in their mind, really, because the mind doesn't know the difference between what you're imagining and what is here live right now.
That is so well said. Well, very well said.
Yeah. So I really enjoy creating that space with them and reminding them that safe is a state of mind. It's not necessarily what your environment dictates.
That's incredible. It's so well said. And, you know, I've become a big proponent of teaching consciousness and spirituality to our children. I think it should be a part of our school program. And a lot of people are like,
absolutely,
well, they should be taught in the home. And it's like, as a society, we're a large community, and if we're going to be telling people how to behave in the first place, which is what we do, then we might as well structure our programs to fully encompass the mind, body, spirit, and emotion. You know, it's like the emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental well-being of all of our children. And if they were there and knew how to manage their emotional state, their mind, body, soul, and keep it in harmony, they wouldn't be doing some of the things that are going on in the news.
I absolutely agree.
They're very lost. And frankly, I think that we've got generations now that are being triggered by media on a regular basis to go into a PTSD state, you know?
Yeah. I also, as we were talking about earlier, like the most traumatized people are the people living in our jails, are the veterans that are homeless on the streets, at-risk youth that don't have a mother, father figure to guide them in a healthy or beneficial way or to feel loved and welcomed into a family, or to just not ever know what it is to feel worthy, which is really the baseline for every single human being. We're all working through not feeling good enough about something or other. And we're all uniquely expressing that pursuit and that pattern in our own unique way as an expression of God here in the flesh, whatever God is for you, universe, source, right? So when
amazing.
we bring these kind of programs into spaces where people wouldn't usually receive alternative ways of healing or being self-aware, we create space to do something new within our systems that are, they're not broken. The system is doing exactly what it was set up to do, which is to oppress and keep people under control. So no, I'm very aware of that, and I'm not trying to change the system. I'm simply bringing a different energy into this space and allowing it to change as it chooses.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. It's yesterday I had watched a video where someone was talking about how neurodivergent and autistic people tend to be attracted to
music,
the fields that we are both in. And I'm both late life not officially diagnosed, but I know from my whole history that that neurodivergent and autism is something that I struggled with and didn't understand. It explained so much to me. I was like, wow, how did I not see that before? But I actually think that a lot of the people that are in our prisons, they are being oppressed. And one of the reasons that they are is because they tend to be the people who will challenge authority and will speak the truth. And if you keep them all imprisoned, and the more, like, you know, more power to keeping more people who actually speak truths shut up. That's how they oppress anybody in the society, encouraging people to start thinking differently. And we're finally seeing and it's been needed for such a long time. We're finally seeing humanity in a large enough way, say, this stuff is not okay. It's time for us to change the way that we're doing things. And I do hope that one of those will be stop incarcerating people that need mental health support, in that people who have been repeatedly traumatized that literally just need help, not to be stuck into a prison where we're spending 10 times as much money to take care of them as we would if we just taught them how to fish, if you know what I mean. It's interesting, but I'm just glad to see humanity finally at a place now where I'm consistently seeing people say, these things are not okay, it's time for us to change. So thank you for doing that work. It's incredibly important work. It's work I feel drawn to myself, which is why I'm so fascinated by it. Can you describe some of the sessions, like the actual physical sessions with sound healing? Because some of our guests may not know, our viewers may not know what we mean by a sound healing experience.
Sure. Yeah. Typically during a sound healing session, whether it's group or individual, the client or the person is laying down on either a massage table or on a yoga mat on the ground. I always invite people to lay down and close their eyes, so that way they're not trying to hold up their body or work through something in a forced way. If someone is a practiced meditator, then they're able to do whatever they choose. If they want to sit up because they want to work through something consciously, great. And for the most part, when I'm going into the jail, there's not many people who have meditated, or they've been told that they're not doing it right, or that they don't know how. So there's some different barriers to break through first there, and to support them in seeing that there's no right or wrong, there's no good or bad. They're simply there to have an experience and to listen, right? To practice listening to the sounds in order to listen to their body, and to hear the messages that their body might have for them and the thoughts that are coming into their mind as they are experiencing the sounds in their body, and to connect the two. So that way we can be aware of where they're holding trauma, emotions, or energy in the body that don't serve them anymore, and then to connect the thoughts or the memories that come with them, and then to clear those during the session. So as that person is lying on the ground, on the mat during the session, I'm doing a guided meditation first verbally to create safe space in the mind, because if something does come up that is uncomfortable, we want the person to have a safe space in the mind to go back to, so that way they're not afraid. Yeah. So that usually it consists of grounding in, planting our roots. So I ask people to imagine tree roots, or even imagine the type of tree that they are, and then to ground in and feel their foundation, and to feel their light within, or to imagine their light within. And I never ask people to see things. I ask them to imagine, because we're not always able to see things clearly in the moment, and we can imagine what it would look like. And as we imagine more, we're able to see more clearly as we practice. So there's that grounding in, there's the imagining the light within. I ask them to imagine what color their light is that day, and then we'll go through and ask people what the color was and what energy center that's connected to, and then dig a little deeper into what that energy center means, and then ask them to create a bubble around them and to envision a bubble of safe and sacred space. And so that bubble really allows them to float through the experience and to be an observer from the inside of that bubble to everything outside of it. So that can even help to let go of outside sounds that are not part of the sound or the intentional part of the sound healing. So like noise of other people outside, people walking down the hallway, guards coming by, officers walking by, making noise. I was gonna
say, they've got a lot of sounds they probably have to deal with.
There's a lot of distractions, yes. So when I do this three-step meditation, it's for them to practice in their own time too. So that way when I'm not there, a lot of them, when I come back the following week, I say, oh, how was it playing around in your bubble or moving through here in your bubble? And they're like, wow, it made my life a whole bunch easier, because I would immediately go back to that picture in my head before I would react or even bother to respond. Whereas I would just put my bubble on in my mind and I would stand and look at the person or interact with the person from inside that space, knowing that whatever happened outside didn't necessarily have to affect me.
Yeah.
So there's different layers that we go through, and there's different personal development tools that I'll share with them also, besides the visualization and the meditation part. It's also about being aware of our thoughts and shifting our perspective and shifting our language and with the words we're using to tell our story. So, and then after the guided meditation, I play the crystal singing bowls. Each one of those instruments playing a different note on the musical scale.
Mm-hmm.
And also letting them know like what parts of the body it's connected to. And at the end, asking questions about where they experienced it and how they experienced it and what they felt. And then a guided meditation at the end to ground and come back into the body.
That's amazing. They must, I would imagine that you get an incredible response from people, because they, so many people, I mean, don't know that understand how sound, and I mean, I think they intuitively know if they're fans of music, but these are not things that are talked about in school. They're not even taught.
No.
Sound is really treated like a, like some superficial synth, like, you know, eating your lunch.
Yeah. Well, the NIH has invested $20 million over the next few years in the study of sound and how it works to heal the body and how it changes our brain wave patterns and how it helps us to be more at peace or calm or grounded, and to help us rest.
Yeah.
And these are all parts of healing. What was that?
I said, I'm glad to hear you say that, because one of my pet peeves is somebody who grew up, I know a lot of people who've been incarcerated. I've been close a few times, given some of my partying and some of the bad choices that I made when I was depressed.
Yeah.
But I've known a lot of people who've been in and out. My own sister passed away from human trafficking related illness, if you will.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know that so many of them are actually naturally spiritual people. Some of the most spiritual people that I've ever met, and they're just right for an experience that tips them over into their better selves.
So many, well, most people
walking that razor's edge,
most people that are doing drugs to escape, it's because they know what the other side is like, or I'll put that in quotations, right?
Yeah.
They know what it is to be more than just this human body, because we are way more than this little vehicle we drive around here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the want and to go back to that space, because it is so comfortable and warm and gentle and free. And the human experience does not always feel that way in our mind,
yeah.
Right? So, and it's all in our mind. And so the more we're able to be self-aware of the thoughts in our head through meditation, through awareness practices, the easier it is for us to change the thoughts and the perspective and the language that we use to tell the story of ourself.
Yeah, that's the one thing I find that I slide back on. And we all have our things, but I have a tendency to slide into that, the thinking, instead of checking where I'm at and why I'm reacting the way that I am. It's that thing, that little gem I keep polishing. I'm like, I swear it's going to get shiny soon enough. One other thing I did want to mention is I'm glad to hear that the National Institute for Health is doing this, because one of the things that I found disturbing about history is how often, when you start to look into it, alternative medicine has been squashed by big business through our politicians and through, oh, I don't even know what, I don't know, coronavirus, and in favor of other things that make people lots and lots of money. And so I'm glad to hear that they're doing that, because I think that they see which way the wind is blowing, and they can tell that there's a certain percentage of humanity that is saying, there are things here that we're not doing that don't make any sense anymore, and it's time for us to start utilizing those means that will have a more profound effect, and don't put out a bunch of addicts, instead of getting everybody on pain medication or Prozac Nation or whatever it is. I think we're finally entering the era of natural homeopathic medicine being a first alternative.
Yes, and that's the great part about the internet and the awareness that we are able to spread at the press of a button, right? And I don't even know if the internet was meant for public consumption before it was released to the public. I don't know if it was ever meant for us to have access to it beyond government use.
I
So.
honestly think that they thought it would be more of an amusing toy that we would have and didn't foresee. I remember when I first started using Google. It wasn't even Google back then. At work, it was in the late 90s, and I remember thinking, I remember when Google came out, and I remember thinking, I mean, it was blowing my mind, because I could see, I was working with tech companies back in 99 and 2000, and it was like, wow, this world is about to go through some insane changes. And it felt like we kind of got lost for about 2 decades.
I started at Hewlett Packard back in 1996 as an admin, and worked for 20 years in high tech as a admin or office manager at different startup companies. And I definitely saw things change and shift. And I was happy that I was in a simple administrative role or office management role too, because I really didn't want to be a part of all of the technology of it. I get it, and I'm so grateful for it. And I can also see the disadvantages that it can create when you are fully involved in that part of it. And I wanted to be able to leave my work at home when I left for the day.
I made the opposite mistake. I lived and breathed it, and I slept with my phone. Oh gosh, I remember 15, 16 or 17 years ago. Yeah, all those years ago, for years I would sleep with my phone in my hand, and that was before I had a little keyboard on the phone. Wasn't a BlackBerry, but I know that was the other thing that everybody had at the time that worked in my industry. And I was like, this is not healthy. And if I'm getting this way, and I love to read and do things that are unplugged, what's going to happen to our future generations? And we're seeing that. We're seeing what's happening to them. There's a lot of, I think we've got a lot of work to do as a society to help heal the generations that have gone through the tech evolution, because as we can see, I think for all the beauty that it's offered, and it's clearly what's pushed us to this point where we're now having the conversation on podcasts that are available everywhere about something that was suppressed years ago. So I'm glad to see us getting around to trying to heal the generations that are younger, that are behind us. You're Generation X as well?
I'm sorry.
Are you Generation X?
Yes, yeah, I am.
I'm like keeping it vague.
It's all good. Yeah, no, I'm 40. I'll be 47 in September. I started working in high tech when I was 21, and have been out of it as an admin role, as an admin responsibility since 2015. That was the last corporate job that I had, and I have been bringing sound healing into corporations sporadically over the years for team building events and workshops. And then the last couple of years have done virtual team building events for companies who were wanted to bring their teams together during a time of, awakening and figuring out, like, what do we do next and what does this look like? And virtual is something that we can do anywhere, so let's do that. So I have these fancy microphones and an interface that connects up to the computer, and I've been able to do sessions that way. I have a standing contract with Santa Clara University back in California for their faculty and soon for their students. And that's on a bi-monthly basis where I do meditations online live with the staff. And I've received really beautiful feedback from them. Even if it's only a 30-minute session, they're able to really reset themselves and prepare for the rest of the week. And the difference between like a Headspace or a Calm app and doing something live like that is the guidance that you get to receive from the practitioner and from the person facilitating the session. It's not just, I don't simply provide a sound bath where people can listen and relax. Mm-hmm. My intention is to take you on a journey into yourself and to see something different within yourself and to possibly change something if you find something in there that is ready for release. And so when I'm tapping in, I'm intentionally tapping into the group from an energetic space and with the intention of supporting them in letting go of what doesn't serve them anymore. And that journey is part of what I feel traditional therapy is missing, yeah. Right? Because you can go to talk therapy for years and never solve your problems.
They're not, and I this think part, they're designed to solve problems. None of them are, not rehabs, none of that. It's all about being sick, being broken, and because that makes people more money, you know?
Yes. Yeah, my intention is to support someone in seeing their innate ability to heal themselves from within. And working with people like me or other facilitators or other healers to dig in deeper when they're not quite sure where to go next, and to work with the guidance that we provide because we have a different awareness of the energy around us and we can support them in going into that space without fear.
I love that. That's wonderful. If people wanted to hire your company, yourself, for some of your services that you've mentioned, where would they visit to find out more?
Currently, my for-profit is Agada Energy Healing. That's spelled A-G-A-D-A. It's agadaenergyhealing.com. And soon to be launched, the Adara Collective, which will be a nonprofit agency supporting the work that I do in the jails with veterans and at-risk youth. And that website will be launched within the next couple of weeks once we finish all the status with the IRS. So we're working on that. And you can also reach me any place online at my website. All of my information is there, email, phone number, and a contact page where you can tap in on the website. I'm always open for a phone call as well. I love talking to people before scheduling anything so I can get to know them a little bit.
I agree with you. I like to do, whenever I do readings, but only for people that I've gotten the chance to actually spend a little time with. The difference in the way that I approach things. Thank you so much for sharing your incredible knowledge. I could keep talking and listening to everything that you're sharing, because sound healing to me is just so interesting. And I can imagine that your corporate retreats and wellness, I think a lot of that's going to make a big big resurgence, as people are going to want to find ways to bring their teams together after years of us all being apart, right? So I encourage everyone to please go check it out. If you don't know anything about sound healing, this might be a good intro video for you. Please subscribe to Blissful Living and comment, like, and share. And if you have any questions for myself or Jessica, please ask and we will get an answer back to you. I thank you so much for listening to us today. And please check out some of the other episodes where I talk about the broken American dream and what we can do about it, and what we can do for some of our future generations right now. Thanks so much for watching and have a gorgeous, gorgeous day. Thank you so much for joining us today. I just truly appreciate your sincerity and your honesty and your beautiful energy. It's been very, very nice.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're so welcome, and have a beautiful week. And you guys have a beautiful week as well. Bye.